pissing yourself a swan song. Fuck, if you'd shed a tear for that piece of shit you idolized for no goddamn fucking reason.
And we're back. Welcome once again to another episode of Mike, Mike, and Oscar, and it's another category review, and it's our third day in a row of recording, which means we might get a little loopy. We'll see how that goes, but it's probably our third of, what, like 8 days in a row of recording right now?
We're doing a lot of work right now. We're having fun, though. This is a fun episode. These category reviews always bring out the best and the best of the worst of us, or the worst of the best.
They definitely bring out. In us, yes.
Yes.
I am your co-host, Mike Wan. That is also Mike. We are doing the Best Supporting Actor category review today. That's where, if you have not joined us before for a category review, we just released our Best Original Song one not too long ago. What that is we go through different Oscar categories, now that the nominations are out, and we will go one by one through every nominee in that category, and we're going to give you two parts. We'll give you why each and every nominee will win, and we will talk about why each and every nominee will not win, Michael.
So by popular demand, we're going to start all this off with who got snubbed.
Yeah.
And we're going to go through a big list here. We're going to alternate and talking about him.
Chalamet!
Timothy Chalamet, beautiful boy, Michael. We reviewed that as an OSP. We thought it was going to be a surefire nominee.
I mean, that's almost unforgivable. That's, if Toni Collette didn't exist this year, this would be kind of the biggest, what the hell is the Academy doing?
And he's so charming, too. Yeah. He's so charming.
And he's beloved by the, I mean, it's amazing that Damien Chazelle, Barry Jenkins, these were like the bells of the ball for the Academy a couple years ago, and they're all going to be left out of the
no-brainer. The no-brainer pick that everybody loves and loves to watch. Next snub, Michael.
Nicholas Hoult from The Favourite. You and I both had high marks to say about him. We enjoyed his performance.
I thought he might sneak in. I just rewatched that movie last night. He made me laugh every single scene. I was wondering, what is everybody talking about? He's so funny, and he is so funny in that movie. Gosh darn it. Must the duck be here? Killed me. Michael, next snub, or a couple of snubs, Michael B. Jordan, Winston Duke, Forrest Whitaker, Sterling K. Brown, and Black Panther. Sterling K. Brown didn't get enough love this award season.
He never does. He's someone that's got to break out in the world of cinema, because we deserve to have him as a movie star representing all of us. He is awesome. But yeah, you can pick any one of those from Black Panther. Michael B. Jordan was probably closest. He obviously was the Killmonger character.
Yeah.
Black Panther was like down for a while, and now it just won Best Ensemble, so now it might have a Best Picture chance. We'll see what that translates to.
You see names like Forrest Whitaker, Sterling K. Brown, and Angela Bassett anchoring that thing, and Ensemble makes some sense. How come you didn't nominate him in the categories, though?
Sure.
Everybody. Yeah. What are we doing?
Makes sense.
Next up.
Steven Yeun from Burning is someone that I actually predicted might get a nominee here. He was on the outside looking in. A lot of people had a lot of great things to say about that movie and his performance specifically, and yet he's left off the list of five here.
Does the end of the Walking Dead run disqualify him in a lot of people's minds?
I think, well, he is responsible for like the moment in the Walking Dead series where a lot of people like threw their hands up and said, that's it, right?
I said,
right,
that's it. After that sequence, I'm like, that's it. Yeah. I'm done. I hate these 15 new characters that you just brought in. And this is one of my all-time favorite characters. And this is how you do him? I hated that. Michael, Mark Hamilton from Eighth Grade, the dad jokiest bastard of the bunch.
Yeah, he was like an underdog type story. There was like this sect of movie critics that really were pulling for him that we saw online. We were among them. We thought he was great. But he's also on the outside looking in here today.
And we loved him.
Eighth Grade kind of got snubbed up and down the cards.
Snubbed up.
Despicable.
And down. That's a hell of a movie. Awesome coming of age film.
Coleman Domingo, Pedro Pascal, Brian Tyree Henry, take your pick from If Beale Street Could Talk. They're also left off the dance card here.
How were they not nominated for Best Ensemble?
And Coleman Domingo is the one I was carrying the torch for the most. He was awesome.
He's in a couple scenes. Pascal and Brian Tyree Henry are like one scene wonders in that movie. I thought they were phenomenal in the few minutes of screen time they got. Coleman Domingo makes the most of his opportunities too, and I can't wait to see their next movies. They're that good in this one. Steve Carell from Vice. Wouldn't we pick him over somebody else nominated today?
I don't understand why Sam Rockwell got in. Steve Carell's on the outside. And I think if you're going to pick someone from Vice for the supporting actor category, I would go Steve Carell. I thought he was more impactful. And Sam Rockwell was bordering on like a caricature of what we were seeing. But apparently not the case. Steve Carell, not nominated.
Next snub, Mike.
Armie Hammer from Sorry to Bother
You. One of your favorites.
He had the longest cocaine snort in cinematic history, I think, but it wasn't enough to get him nominated.
Patrick Bateman Award winner, as I mentioned in that OSP there. We thought this was going to get some legs come award season. It did not. Armie Hammer was so good in that, though. That whole cast was awesome in that
still,
movie.
He should have won last year. Last year, it was a disgrace.
Disgrace. He wasn't even nominated.
No, it's terrible.
One of your favorites, Mike, Tom Waits from The Ballad of Buster Scruggs. He's a world-famous comedian, musician. I should learn how to pronounce his name or his field.
Yeah, he had it right the first time. It's Waits.
Waits.
Tom Waits. But yeah, he Pant Shot! Yeah. Ballad of Buster Scruggs. It was one of the underrated classics, I want to say. I think it's one of the movies that'll stick with us from 2018.
I'm a big fan. I watched that 4 or 5 times on Netflix. We really studied that one. That was a fun OSP. That was a substantive OSP. That had some big themes when we talked about that one. Next snub, Mike. I don't know if he's a best actor candidate. I don't know which he was considered in, but Jonathan Pryce from The Wife.
I would say supporting actor for sure, because one-woman show, that movie.
Me too.
Glenn Close is definitely the lead there. But
why I included him.
We had high marks on him as well. And again, we're just running down a name of snubs. And I think there are like 2 that got nominated that I would put any one of these in over. So, I could see Jonathan Pryce making the field, but unfortunately he did not. Alex Wolff, Gabriel Byrne also both found themselves on the outside looking in from Hereditary.
Gosh darn it, they were
because
good.
Because everybody from Hereditary got there on
That's
the outside.
That's true. If Tony doesn't get nominated from Hereditary, nobody gets nominated from Hereditary.
Can you imagine if Alex Wolff made the field and Toni Collette didn't, though?
Well, yeah, we would be upset, but that would mean everybody saw it.
Right.
And
would have
of course,
gotten a little
Toni
exposure
Collette
at least, sure.
Would have gotten nominated if they saw it. I think they were scaredy cats. Scared. I'm turning into my 4-year-old self here, calling you a bunch of scaredy cats, Academy.
Goddamn cowards!
You didn't watch this movie because, good God, were all 3 of them great in that movie, including the little girl.
Sure.
She was wonderful. Jeff Bridges from Bad Times at the El Royale. It is a good Jeff Bridges performance.
Haven't seen this one yet. Want to check it out. It just came to VOD not too long ago, but I'm also not going to spend $18 to see it on my own home, so I'll wait a little bit. But yeah, I heard good things about it. I heard the movie was a little polarizing. That probably came into play.
It's not the mystery I thought it was going to be. It's kind of more of a straight-up narrative, I would say. There's mysterious aspects of it, but yeah, Jeff Bridges is so good in that one. Michael, next snub.
Russell Crowe from Boy Erased also does not make the field. He was one that was rumored to for a long time.
Very good in that movie. Very, 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 very good in that movie.
Do you think he put on the weight just for the part, or do you think he put on the weight because he's resting comfortably into his later years?
He's enjoying that weight. He's enjoying the roles where he can keep that weight.
Yeah,
but he does a hell of a job. In
Welcome to the club, brother.
Yeah, I mean, it's our tough role to humanize in many ways. Daniel Kaluuya, Brian Tyree Henry, his name again here in Widows. We didn't love that movie. We really liked those performances from the trailer through the movie.
Kaluuya, especially for me, anyway. But yeah, the movie was kind of a letdown. Again, we're in the minority about that. A lot of people hold the candle for Widows and they love it and they think it was snubbed and should have been nominated. Okay, I could see that. I could see the argument and. Hallelujah. I just want to see him more things.
Yeah. Tyree Henry's had some scenes this year.
Yeah, yes.
Some scenes, Michael.
Matthew McConaughey from White Boy Rick, another Bell of the Academy ball, doesn't see his name nominated.
That vein was pulsing that whole movie. He's excellent. He's excellent. I don't love that movie, but he is excellent. Michael, one more big snub.
Yeah. Okay. Tilda Swinton. That would have been interesting. It really would have been if they nominated her best supporting actor.
Your conspiracy theory was one of the all-time also Mike just over his head at the time of recording during our Suspiria pod. Like, this just went over my head. I didn't understand the joke you were making. You're too meta. I try not to listen to you all the time anyway because that would make a man crazy. Anyway, I think that was genius. I give you a golf clap now.
Thank
later
you.
On in our podcast history. But you said it would have been the all-time greatest conspiracy theory if Tilda Swinton's character of Erbersdorf.
Yeah.
That was the actor's name?
Dr. Erbersdorf.
If Dr. Erf Erbersdorf from the Arctic Aardvark fame was nominated and then all of a sudden on an Oscar stage winning the award, took off the mask and it was Tilda Swinton?
It would have been amazing. And I think it would have been one of the greatest reveals in Hollywood. It probably would have been a top 5 moment in Oscar's history.
In movie history.
Yeah, and it totally would have bailed out Faye Dunaway too, which would have been a nice idea. But I guess things can't be done and she maybe gave it away too early. So Tilda Swinton, not nominated.
Not now.
For Ergendorf or whatever.
Do you think that's the future of acting at its most elite? Oh, like, yeah. Like, somebody pulls one over on us?
Well, I don't think that necessarily as much as I think that, like, and the MTV Movie Awards already started doing this. They're just rewarding, like, the best actor.
Sure.
The royal, you know, men and women. They don't separate it. They don't divide it by gender. I think that's where we're headed.
That's
I think
cool.
That I could absolutely see that happening in the future.
And it'll take a Tilda Swinton fooling us performance right. to actually make the Academy switch.
Right.
Because the Academy is set in their ways, if we've learned anything this year.
Especially, they tend to regress sometimes, yeah. as we learned. We're going to go through every nominee for the Best Supporting Actor category. Now, those were the snubs. So let's get into the five that were nominated. And we're going to go give you reasons why they will win, why they won't win, one by one. And at the end of this, we're going to give you a top five Perfecting Perfection review. Not necessarily of who we think will win. That'll come at a later date. Not necessarily who we want to win. That'll come at a later date, but we're going to tell you of these five that are nominated how we personally would rank them. But first, let's talk about why each one will and won't win, and let's talk about the favorite, the prohibitive favorite in this category, Mike, Mahershala Ali for Green Book. Why is he going to win?
Mahershala Ali is going to win because he already won the Golden Globe, the Critics' Choice, and the Screen Actors Guild. He is on a roll, Michael. He's the best supporting actor of this year, as we've said on many occasions. And he may have given the best performance of the year in any acting category. That's high praise.
Yeah, he's the human embodiment of what the song Shallow is.
The scene in the mirror, the scene in the rain. I mean, who did better this year than Mahershala Ali in those scenes?
It's a fair argument. That's an interesting one, too, that he might have had the best overall performance of the year. And yeah, he's going to win because he's going to win.
Yeah. Glenn Close at the hotel room, Toni Collette at the dinner table. It's hard to say, really. We'll have to do a deeper dive into this at the Mike and Oscars best acted performance, perhaps.
Eminem singing Venom. Yeah.
Eminem singing Venom. Mm-hmm. Mike won during some of the drops for MMO Weekly. Yes, but Mahershala was awesome this year.
Artists.
He's the best part of that movie, and many people have problems with that movie. We do as well.
Yep.
But it is universally agreed upon that Mahershala is great. Not good. He's great in that movie. Much the same that everybody thinks Rami Malek is very, very good, if not great, in Bohemian Rhapsody. Even if you disagree with the movie, you can't disagree with that performance.
Yeah, six times since the year 2000, a supporting actor has won all four of the major precursors, and all six times they've gone on to win the Oscar as well. This is going to be number seven. I do think Mahershala is going to win.
You're probably right. I'm going to make a counter argument when we get to Richard E. Grant and those BAFTAs.
Fair enough.
It's going to be fascinating to watch. Michael, why will Mahershala Ali not win? That's a mouthful. The will not win stuff.
You hit on it. There is a backlash to this movie. Wesley Morris brought up Spike Lee's discussion about what the magical Negro is. He did that in discussion with Bill Simmons on the Bill Simmons podcast.
Yes.
How there's this trope in Hollywood, this really disgusting trope about how there's just insert this magical, most times a black person or some minority at least, but usually you refer to it as the magical Negro. You insert this black person who literally, not figuratively, but quite literally, is a magical being and just fixes all the issues of the movies.
Bagger Vance, Michael Clark Duncan in The Green Mile, now Don Shirley in Green Book here. Spike Lee, I believe, invented the term from that discussion.
I think they researched it
in that great podcast there on The Ringer. Look, I think it is a major issue, like, in terms of cinematic history.
Sure,
of course. There going to be a time enough for a backlash against this wonderful, incredible, undeniably great performance?
Well, here's what I'll say about that. And sure, if he's not going to win, that will probably be the reason why. I just personally would have a problem with people taking the issue, those sorts of issues that they justifiably have with the movie at large, out on Mahershala Ali's character.
Great performance.
Right. I don't think of anyone you're going to hold it against. You'd hold it against Peter Farrelly, Viggo Mortensen for what he did in the press circuit. I don't think he would hold it against Mahershala Ali. That just wouldn't make sense to me.
So, all right. So we're throwing Hail Marys here, essentially, on why he won't win. If Viggo continues to give Q&As...
Yeah, that'll be a problem.
If Peter Farrelly continues to shush orchestras and then gives a speech about how his movie has saved the world.
Oh, God. Yeah.
As much as we love Peter Farrelly's career, Michael.
Just don't talk. Just don't.
Enough,
don't,
right?
Like, talk about what you did in the movie.
It already cost you.
What you want it to do.
It cost you a Best Director nom, that speech.
You might have.
Michael, white people in the Academy, they finally listen. This is why Mahershala's not going to win. They finally listen to a backlash, a righteous backlash. And of course, in total white people fashion. They fuck up the meshes.
That would be message. So totally Academy, wouldn't
and
it?
And the collateral damage is Mahershala Ali's undeniably great performance that should win in any year.
And then they
can you see that happening?
They split the Best Picture win between Green Book and Bohemian Rhapsody.
Dramatic irony, right?
Yeah, that would be very Academy-like, especially for the run they're on of the past year plus. But I hope against hope that's not the case. But you're right. If he was going to fall short, it's going to have to do with the backlash most likely. And that will play into other reasons why other guys in this category will win later on.
Sure. It could become a big story going down the pike here. But it's probably a moot point. Mahershala's performance is unstoppable and he's great.
So
and he's going to win everything and he's probably going to
win
this.
So good.
All right. So on that note, great transition also, Mike, you idiot. Adam Driver from BlacKkKlansman. Michael, why will Adam Driver win?
Star Wars, nothing but Star Wars. Those near and far woes.
Did you make that up? Or
no, that's a Bill Murray skit from the 1970s SNL, which I actually, after thinking of this reason, I had to stop typing, go to YouTube, watch that performance a couple times over, laugh, be like, oh, Bill, you rascallion, you did it again.
Love Bill Murray.
And then go back and finish this. But yeah, I can't come up with any legitimate reasons, so here's what I do in the conspiracy Mike way. The only thing I could come up with would be that the Academy is more diverse, and that means possibly that they're younger, too.
Sure.
And that the younger crowd want to reward Kylo Ren in some way.
Young people also think he's pretty sexy.
Right, that's true too.
Not me.
No, I do.
I'm old. Anyway, but they really are into him.
Right, so I think there exists a world in which that happens.
If he had a shirtless scene in front of a mirror in this movie, would he have sewn it up?
If he just like has a lightsaber that falls out of his pants, well, yeah.
Mike, I think this is a performance that grows on us. I just rewatched the movie yet again. His scenes with John David Washington, especially those discussing the case and discussing their role as undercover cops.
He is. It's a good performance.
It's grown on me. I respect it more. I gave him a hard
time.
You did.
Repeatedly.
Repeatedly in the build-up to this episode because I just watched the movie once or twice for our OSP, and I didn't see what everybody else was seeing for that performance. I'm seeing a little more of it now. But here's the thing. This is a performance within a performance. He is playing an undercover police detective. This is catnip to actors who make up the majority of the Academy.
It's a fair point. I absolutely. It's definitely actually the performance within a performance is what I cite as to when we get to why he won't win. So I'm glad you thought of that as well. But yeah, absolutely. This is the actor's acting performance of this category, most likely.
He's also on the cusp, I would say, of movie star territory. Like he's a star, but he's going to become like a leading man movie star.
On the verge
star.
Of like super duper stardom.
And he's a Disney movie star cusp of a stardom kind of thing. Watch that's delivery. Michael, he's forced to say some heinous racist shit in this movie as an undercover cop in the KKK, and he's got a lot of subtext within that performance
yeah,
where he's kind of conveying his distaste for it, and you could see, you know, little cracks in the veneer, and I think that's what ultimately brings me around to his character, that it's a great performance, not that the character's kind of despicable what he's having to do. Ironically, can he get a sympathy vote? Because this is some awful things he has to do.
Well, you're kind of bleeding into why I think he won't win. And I'll say that, too. That's the reason I had. The racist stuff, he's not going to win. He's not Mahershala Ali. It's not the best performance of the year. That's fine. Also, the racist stuff, it is a quagmire because it's easy to get riled up about something like Sam Rockwell's performance. I mean, we didn't, but other people did, and I'd say it's understandable at least, because he was an out-and-out racist. He's an obvious racist character.
Right.
Driver was playing a guy, like you said, he was playing a guy who was playing a guy who was racist.
And they're trying to take down this racist organization.
Yeah, so if you are going to hold the racist things against him, that's like some Inception level thinking that you got to get to in order to say he can't win because of his racist character type thing. But nonetheless, there's no reason for a white person to utter the N-word on screen in 2018 or 19. Right. Like, you can write around that. We certainly have talented enough studio people that can get around that and show somebody being a terrible, awful racist without crossing that line.
That being said, small counter argument here. It's hard to do that in the backroom meeting of a KKK clan.
Is it?
I think so.
I don't think so.
Because I think they would use that word 100 times.
Sure. Okay, but for we're
realism,
not actually seeing a Klan movie. You know
for
what
realism's
I mean?
Like, sake. For realism's sake. And it's made by Spike Lee. I mean, Spike Lee is saying, all right, that's happening.
Right. I get the justification of it. I just don't agree with it, personally. I think there's ways around it.
I understand that. So next nominee, Michael, Sam Elliott from A Star Is Born. Why will Sam Elliott win, Michael?
Because it's the Lifetime Achievement Awards, and the Oscars do this from time to time.
You've been on this for a while.
Yeah. So the IMDb says Sam Elliott's first role was way back in 1967's The Way West, all right? He's been a working SAG member fairly consistently in the 42 years
42 years.
But this is his first lone Oscar nomination. This Crazy. Is it. This is the first time he did it. So it'd be really fitting, wouldn't it, that if he not only got his first Oscar nom at the age of 74, but also made history by winning and becoming the first supporting actor to win, even though another nominee swept the precursors?
He's got to win BAFTA to get some late momentum.
I don't even think he has to. I mean, I think it's possible that he doesn't win anything, and I think there's a roadmap here.
That would be shocking.
Because there were so many critics and movie types out there, actors, performers, directors, that just loved the guy personally, but they also railed about his performance. It never landed for me. I can see it. I know. Right. I hear the words they're saying, and I see what they're talking about, but it just doesn't equate for me. But nonetheless, I'm just a small, not even spoke in this wheel. People more important than me love this performance.
They do. I wonder if it's the Lebowski Fest generation that is catching on and respecting him all the more. Because it's almost like something dawned on everybody in Hollywood over the last few years. Oh, remember, Sam Elliott's great.
Right.
He's always been
exactly.
great. Roadhouse, maybe all of the repeats.
Man, he's been doing this for a long time. How many Oscars does he have? Oh, none?
None. Yeah. And he was awesome in The Hero last year. Came out very early in award season, if I can recall.
I had issues with that movie, too.
That did not have legs, even though I think that performance was pretty awesome. I don't think I had it in my top five at the end of the day either, though.
Yeah,
I don't you think you did either. But in terms of this performance, analyzing it, it's a very showy one in regards to his reaction shots. Each scene he does get is a bit of an Oscar real scene where he does get emotional. He's angry. He's almost
okay.
crying.
I just don't see it. Yeah, you're right. He does. He tears up.
Here's a bit of a new take.
Yeah.
And I'm going to avoid getting into the plot here, but Bradley Cooper's character, the voice, the walk, the mannerisms, they come from the same hometown in the film. Sam Elliott's character is essentially the basis for Bradley Cooper's role. And that's woven into the plot, and it's essential, and we understand why that happens, and it's very important. So by the aftershock of this being the Sam Elliott persona, getting Bradley Cooper a nomination, even though we would like more wins for Bradley Cooper, does that give you a little extra incentive?
So
he's
going to win the Oscar because a character opposing him, or he plays opposite in the movie, is based on his real life persona, and that's why we're going to reward him.
Is that why you stole my voice? Yeah, and then by association, maybe. Look, the scene with Gaga, it's incredible. The scene where he's backing out of the driveway crying. If one shot of a movie, like that one shot, got him this Oscar nomination.
Yeah, it did.
Simply.
Yeah.
One shot. Sam Elliott, you're the cowboy of all cowboys. You don't cry. And there he cried.
So we're going to reward toxic masculinity. Yay. Don't be in touch with your feelings.
He is in touch with his feelings there. So that's why you're what you're
rewarding. I know.
But Michael, the main reason is Coors.
I knew we were going to work that in somehow.
The banquet beer. I saved it to the end.
Thank you for that.
All right.
I think that's somehow gotten worse over time the more you've done it. I don't understand how that's possible.
I did my voice! And then I tried to do his voice and I suck at it. Now, I'm not Brennan Lee Mulligan and I don't have that level of talent. Nowhere near that.
Yeah.
Michael, why will Sam Elliott lose?
Because it's not a worthy performance, especially when compared to not only Ali, but multiple others in this category. I would take Driver over this performance too.
Yeah.
I get it. I do. I really do get it. I can see how people see the Coors voiceover guy, the guy who did the Big Lebowski voiceover, and see him shed a few tears as he's backing that truck out of the driveway, and they think, you know, it's damn time we reward Sam Elliott, a lifetime California kid who's long overdue for some recognition. Here's the problem. These are the Oscars.
Right. This is the best of the year.
Yeah, these aren't the like Lifetime Achievement Academy Awards. These are just the Academy Awards. We're rewarding the best in each category in film all year. And what Sam Elliott was given to work with, he was great because he's always great. But the screen time, the emotional conveyance, the degree of difficulty in performance, the delivery, none of it, I don't think, objectively can be seen as the best of the year when compared to other supporting actors who did and did not make this list.
Honestly, you said it within that rant, and it's a crazy person's rant, but it made a lot of sense to me, which is also scary.
LARP
screen
too.
Time.
Yes.
Screen time. He doesn't have a lot of screen time in this film. And for me, pound for pound, there are better, shorter screen time performances this year than Sam Elliott's. He's got four scenes, maybe five. It's a quick performance. He's got that one great shot, and he's got that one, you know, intense scene with Gaga.
Colman Domingo did more in that one
scene,
which I mean, that scene may be the best of film year 2018,
Amen.
But it's the best of film year 2018 in large part because of Colman Domingo.
Colman Domingo's performance is great. Look, Sam Elliott's lucky to get a nomination for this role. I agree with you. He's also not Mahershala Ali who's
right.
going to win.
Right.
All right, we have a big contender here for this next one. Richard E. Grant, Michael, from Can You Ever Forgive Me? Why I think he's going to win?
Yeah, tell us.
Critics Association's picked him more than any other. He was an early front runner.
Sure.
And if the race is going to come back to anyone, it's going to come back to him.
I agree.
There's also the lifetime achievement angle here, Michael, because he's been a character actor. He's been a prose pro. He's been the type of actor that helps everybody else become a best actor nominee. He's been in some big movies, some renowned Oscar films. From all the buzz, he's been charming everybody's pants off in Hollywood. We've been following his Twitter, and it's just been adorable, and it's been engaging. The BAFTAs are coming up February 10th, and the Oscar nomination voting, or the Oscar final voting, begins a couple days later, 2 days later, I believe. If he is that popular across the pond, he's a British actor, might be arguably the most British actor. That's a goofy joke. He could win and then get this last-ditch momentum. And we don't know how close it's been since now, all the voting for Mahershala Ali up to this point. If it has been close, and if it's close between anyone, it's close between those two, correct? Then he's got a shot, no?
Yeah, I think you hit on the main point of it, is that he's the easy number two, at least in a lot of people's eyes, and that's how he's kind of finished the year. Everyone thought once he muscled his way into this, this was going to be his category to lose. It turns out, no, it's going to go to Ali, at least for the major precursors up to this point. So there's definitely a realistic path to victory for him, and if the race does come back, like you said, it should absolutely fall to the number two guy next, and you would think with him being the next on the list, there's enough there to justify a victory without it being a total shock. I absolutely agree.
Will he ever get another opportunity? This is a Sam Elliott argument in a way. He hasn't had one yet. He's been doing this forever. He hasn't gotten roles this juicy yet. So Mahershala already has an Oscar, Michael. Will Richard E. Grant get a bit of a last-minute pity vote because Mahershala is just so awarded for so long? He's going to be nominated another 10 times probably in his career because he's an unstoppable force of nature and one of the greatest actors we currently have. Maybe people say, Richard E. Grant, this is his year. It has to be, or else he's not going to get one.
Well, he's not like on his deathbed. I mean, he is a full 13 years younger than Sam Elliott. So
true.
I think this is going to, if anything, just propel his career. I think he is going to get more juicy roles.
I hope
and he's
so.
A fine actor. There's no reason I don't think that we shouldn't see him around again, at least sniffing another awards category. I would say at least once, but maybe twice or so left in his
career.
I'm
rooting for that 100%. Michael, why will Richard E. Grant lose?
Because nobody saw this movie. I mean, this movie didn't make any money. It's critically acclaimed, but the number of reviews is incredibly low.
Right.
There's 200 and something critics that did this for the tomato meter score. Only 5 were negative on it. Everybody's very high on his performance, and he did win a lot of Critics Circle awards, but I don't think there's anything compelling or sexy in voting for him.
There are moments in that film, we just reviewed it, Can You Ever Forgive Me, and an OSP. There are moments in that film that are fun. And then there's a lot of boring parts.
Yep.
That movie really dragged for the both of us. It's not as stimulating as some of these other performances and some of these other movies, even though I think he gives a charming as hell performance somehow throughout a boring
He's the most likable, despicable person on earth.
Absolutely. He's going to lose, though, because not enough people saw this film. and he's clearly the silver, right?
It just doesn't, I mean, apples to apples, it just doesn't
That's
hold
the
up
thing.
To
the eye test yeah. is Mahershala Ali's yeah. performance is so much better. He does the big emotional
I
scenes.
I absolutely agree. I mean, Ali, you could, there's an argument that Ali is a lead in his movie,
yeah,
which is kind of cheating. That's kind of how Viola Davis got her award for the supporting actress for True. Fences a couple years ago. But I mean, he is here mm-hmm. and this is the category. So it's just, it is what it is at that point. Ali does more in his movie.
Even, you know, saying that Sam Rockwell, we had the same argument for him. This is becoming a year to year thing, putting an almost lead actor based on screen with screen time of a lead actor.
Yeah.
With a lead acting performance, you know, putting that in this category is typically paying off and paying dividends in terms of wins. So, yeah, I think Mahershala Ali is going to win this yeah. one. Michael, Sam Rockwell from Vice. Why will Sam Rockwell win?
Well, you tell me, Mike. Why is Sam Rockwell going to win this category? He had a genius portrayal of George W. Bush, our 40-something second president of the United States, ruled for 8 years, had a great legacy. Why is Sam Rockwell going to win with his portrayal, Mike?
He won't. I abstain.
Fair enough. So Mike literally does not want to give Rockwell any credit here.
Refuse. I love Sam Rockwell. I refuse to argue in his favor.
All right, I'm going to put my tinfoil hat on for this one.
Oh, God.
Certain people, I won't mention whom specifically, but a certain type of person may have issue with the George W. Bush presidency. Uh-huh. And some of those types of people may be enrolled in the Academy presently.
Perhaps.
May make up the majority of the Academy. To take a page out of also Mike's book from years past, we can refer to this type of person with a schmibrel, if we will.
Schmibrel, that's okay? A great schmo word.
The Academy may have many of these schmibrels, and the schmibrels may enjoy seeing a president who, in schmibrel circles, was referred to as a hapless dope being portrayed as a hapless dope on screen.
Preaching to the choir.
So when said performance is done by a guy who just won the Best Supporting Actor last year,
yeah.
Maybe the Academy wants to make a little history while simultaneously sending a message to those that oppose the schmibrel thinking, which can be done by giving Rockwell another award here. He'd be a back-to-back winner. It'd be sending a direct message against the Schmipublican party. So you can kill a lot of birds with one Oscar stone here that really fits the Academy narrative.
You're a linguistic genius. You couldn't be more wrong. I appreciate the effort, though. Michael, Sam Rockwell is gonna lose, and this is why. Because why is he even nominated? This makes no sense other than he won the award last year. Yeah. And it's at like a legacy coattails nomination. Why did the Academy even need to see George W. parodied again? Will Ferrell did it funnier. Josh Brolin looked more like the former president and had better mimicry involved. This performance has no dramatic range to it.
Yeah.
We see two things. We see this president, Sam Rockwell's W, deferring to Cheney in character, giving him a side eye glance. And we see this president as the guy you'd want to have a beer with, because ironically, he can't even have a beer and he's still, you know, the chummy kind of a president. He's a fun hang in this movie. He's a fun hang for maybe 6 minutes of screen time. What the hell are they nominating? It is a SNL sketch. I've heard that from other critics. It is an SNL sketch and a solid one. A solid one. Not even as funny as Will Ferrell. What are they doing? Michael, Timothy Chalamet, you're just going to let me keep going so until my lungs just diffuse all air.
I know better than
air.
To step in front of his mudslide.
Timothy Chalamet's tour de force mm-hmm. was also out there this year. And I don't use that fucking critics cliche ever, that phrase tour de force, but it is applicable. I'm losing my mind. It is applicable to the Timothy Chalamet performance. And it's also applicable to Mahershala Ali's performance. It's a tour de force. It is a forceful performance. It is an emotional performance, a powerful performance. Tour de force. What fucking world, Mike? The Sam Rockwell's role in this movie, which lasts for 6 goddamn minutes. What world is that better than Timothy Chalamet? I can't even say his name. What world is it better? Answer me!
I'll have what he's having. My reasoning for why he won't win is everything you just said. I will just ride those coattails as well. And also, if they were going to give this fifth slot to Sam Rockwell, they should have just given it to Toni Collette for her work in Hereditary.
Yeah.
And it would have made people happier.
Mike, this is bullshit.
Yeah.
This is bullshit. This is laziness
by
the Academy.
I will say, the biggest the lack of range is really what speaks most. And I understand, like, well, George W. Bush didn't show a whole lot of range as president. Well, no shit, because he was the president. But we also didn't see him just acting as president in this movie. We saw him behind the scenes.
The mimicry is good.
Yeah.
It works.
It seems like a very low bar for this nomination this year, which is kind of weird.
They did not watch Beautiful Boy. I'm calling you out, Academy. You did not watch it. Because there's in no world.
It could be. Look, maybe the subject matter hit too close to home for some of them.
Fine.
Maybe they didn't like it. You know, there's a lot of reasons, but you're absolutely right. To have this performance in over Chalamet and what Chalamet did in Beautiful Boy, it's pretty inexcusable.
They watched Vice. They did not watch Timothée Chalamet in Beautiful Boy. And they heard that movie getting reviews that were in the 60%, that they heard the movie getting bad reviews. They heard about people, you know, shitting on that movie, even though I think it actually fit the narrative of that crisis pretty well. We had our problems with that movie, but I thought it worked. And I think people just they're terrified of that whole situation and the epidemic, and they're turning a blind eye to it. And it's unfortunate, because that's a hell of a performance, and it's absurd that the Academy
looked
over
it. It's a couple performances in one, whereas you had this George W. Bush performance seemed so very one note.
Come on.
And the one note was comedic anyway, and if you're going to nominate a comedic performance, shouldn't it have some kind of giant... I mean, we talked about Can You Ever Forgive Me? Melissa McCarthy getting nominated for Best Supporting Actress off of Bridesmaids. Well, that was a worthy nominee. She went above and beyond. She was awesome in that movie.
Sure.
This performance was not... it's not a comedic performance that's worthy of Academy recognition.
Agreed.
It's just not.
Agreed.
You're absolutely right, and I also hope that your blood pressure comes down at some point soon. Let's go to Perfecting Perfection. Let's wrap it up here. This is, again, just to remind you, like we said at the top of the show, we're going to take the five nominees that the Academy gives us. We're not going to tell you who we think will win. That's going to come at a later date. We're not going to tell you who we think should win. That's going to come at a later date. This is just Mike and I taking these five nominees that the Academy gives us, and we are ranking them in order of our preference. And obviously, if you disagree with us, we want to hear from you. You can reach out to us on our social medias. We'll give you those at the end of the episode. If you agree with us, we want to hear as well. And if you think we're wrong, you want to yell us down and we're idiots and Toni Collette should be on the list, I agree, so don't bother. Mike, we actually, again, like we did for the Best Original Song category, we end up with the same ranking 5 through 1, so we could just take these in order all together. Go ahead, number 5, because I know you're not done talking about
them. Of course our number 5 is Mahershala Ali. Yeah. I'm kidding. Sam Rockwell's our number 5.
Easily.
Once we get to that Mike and Oscars, we're going to have a vastly different 5, I think, than what these nominations are, because we're going to rank our top 5s of the year. And it's going to be different.
Yeah, I would agree. I'm surprised you had Elliot as low. I thought you were kind of feeling his performance, but he's number 4 for both of us.
I walked you through the kind of Adam Driver begrudging respect. Like, I gained respect in the rewatch phase for Adam Driver. And the Sam Elliott stuff is very small, right? It's just the short and small. And Adam Driver will convince me, and he with a great performance, and he convinced me in that role. It must have been a damn impossible role to play. And so Sam Elliott's our number 4. Adam Driver's our number 3.
Yeah, we'll move on there. I the more I think about Driver 2, and I will rewatch Black Klansman soon. I'm a fan of what he did as well. Again, I just have the issue with the language used. I know it's Spike Lee, so I probably don't have a word to say about it anyway. But it just is what it is. But yeah, that is a decent performance. I think it's worthy of acclaim too. And he did get nominated at all the major precursors, so why not? But there's a definite 2, and there's a definite 1. 2 is Richard E. Grant, and 1 obviously is Mahershala Ali for both of us.
Yeah, no surprises there for you folks, really. You knew we were going to say Mahershala Ali is going to win. We kind of did the lesser dramatic category reviews first.
Yeah, we got the pretty basic ones done.
We got our argumentative muscles.
Anytime you have a category review when the answer to why certain nominees won't win and the answer multiple times is that another nominee exists, That's easy to get through.
Right, but we have some races coming up. We have Best Actor with definite race now. We have a lot to say about Glenn Close and the Best Actress race. I think Olivia Colman's awesome in that. I think Toni Collette was awesome in her film. Obviously, she's not nominated, but there's a lot to talk about right up top with the snubs. I think Best Director, it's a windfall for Cuarón, but I think we have some things to say about the nominees. We're going to have OSPs coming up for you folks to finish off all the major contenders and major nominees at this year's Academy Awards. We have Cold War and At Eternity's Gate. We just did Can You Ever Forgive Me? We have over 40 movies reviewed in that OSP format, whether we called it an Oscar Sprint profile at the time or we called it a movie event. We've been reviewing a movie per episode with that same format. So go back, listen to those playlists, and now it's the fun part. We get to debate these categories that really could go either way, most of them.
Put on our tinfoil hats and see where it leads us. Yeah, it's going to be fun, and it's going to be fun in the lead up. Like we said, if you agree, disagree, or anything, we want to hear what your personal rankings of these are and what you think got snubbed. If we left something off the snub list, if did we snub a snub, let us know. You can reach out to us on our social medias, Mike and Oscar on Facebook, Mike and Oscar on Instagram, MM and Oscar on the Twitter machine, Mike and Oscar at gmail.com, and on Reddit. We're available everywhere you hear podcasts, TuneIn, Stitcher, SoundCloud, iTunes, Spotify, etc., etc. Michael, the best supporting actor category, I had my Tilda Swinton brain on, is now in the can. What do we have for words of wisdom to get us through the end of this week with?
Brennan Lee Mulligan's interview is still a highlight for us. We're still working off the coattails of that. We loved it. Go listen to that episode. He said something so profound. He said the Academy is trying to thread a needle between the popular films and the art house films, and this category, I held this till now because I think this is a great thesis statement. This category is representative of that. You have Richard E. Grant in a smaller film, and otherwise, in a popular film imperative kind of a year, you got popular film actors being nominated, and you got recognizable names. Timothy Chalamet is in a movie nobody's seen, nobody wants to see. We got a lot of other actors that we mentioned before, if Beale Street guys, especially, that should have been nominated and are not nominated, and they did not want to give enough credit to the art house. I wonder if that is going to be a narrative that takes this Roma juggernaut down a peg at the end of the day with its win total.
As someone who takes who lives their life by the ways of Heath Ledger's The Joker, I'm rooting hard for Sam Rockwell to win because I just want to see the world burn.
No! So. You're an agent of chaos, you son of a bitch.
Reality sucks. Keep watching movies with us. Third episode this week, and there's plenty more in the pipeline, so stay tuned. We're coming out with a new one soon.
See ya.
Yeah.
She's not an agent anymore. She died.
She did? Jesus, that's young.
Maybe she didn't die. Maybe she just moved back to the suburbs. I was confused there, too. No, that's right. She got married and had twins.
Better to have died.
Indeed.